Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I think you all know that I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you've come this morning to spend your morning with us. And if you are new to us today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you've joined us today.
And in case you don't know, she's not new to us. She's just a long time away from us.
And so I invite you to join me right now as we read our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. That's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is through being here, through the words that are spoken and the readings and the music and actually just being in the company of each other, is we are moving back into that place within us that knows, yes, indeed, we are primarily spiritual beings. That yes, indeed, our own divine essence is none other than the essence of that infinite one that is expressing itself in and through and around and as everything in the universe. And what that means then, if that infinite one is present within us as our own divine nature, as our own essential nature and our essence, then what is true of spirit is true of us. That if spirit is the very energy of love, that love lives within us. If in spirit there is only peace and harmony and balance and order, then those things also already exist within us. And what happens then is as we awaken to our own divine nature, our own spiritual essence, is we come to the world differently. We come to the world more loving and more kind and more generous. We aren't as reliant on the world being those things to us, being kind or generous or loving, although we would certainly prefer it. But when the world isn't reflecting those things back to us, it puts us in a place of power and in a place of choice. That just because this person out here isn't being loving, I'm not dependent on that to be love in action. Just because things out here aren't peaceful doesn't mean that peace doesn't already exist within me and that I can actually lean into that peace. And as I lean into that, I find that peace and I discover it. And then we come to the world differently. We actually come to the world as a healing presence. And because everything is connected to everything else and we live in this collective pool of consciousness, how we grow and what we come to understand and unfold affects the whole. And so I say thank you to each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing your spirit into this world in a way that is beautiful and healing, and for bringing the spirit into this world. So I thank you for that, and I honor that, and I bless that. And so, like I said, tomorrow is actually nationally recognized Indigenous Peoples Day. And it is a day where we honor and recognize Indigenous people and cultures that have been in America for thousands of years. It is a day that is intended to commemorate their history and their culture and their sovereignty, their resilience, and the contributions that they have made to this country. But as you probably know, unlike Abrahamic religions, which are Judaism and Christianity and Islam, American Native American religion believes that those Abrahamic religions believe that there is one God, but that God is separate and apart from this physical material world. So unlike that, Native American religions actually believe that there is also one God that is all-knowing, that is all-powerful, but also that one great spirit assumes all different forms in this world. And so Native Americans, including people, And so Native Americans don't distinguish between the natural world and the supernatural world. The material world and the spiritual world are unified as one realm. There's no distinction between the two. They're not separate things from each other. Native Americans also believe that everything has a spirit or a soul. The mountain, the trees, the rivers, the bears, the elk, and you and me. And they actually believe that that spirit of humans is eternal. But that belief that each thing has a soul or a spirit is called animism. And because it is seen as a distinct and individual spirit in those things, actually those individual things are also worshipped as gods. They also believe that all things in the material world have gifts that are given to human beings, and that we increase those gifts through prayer and through ritual. And so you might notice in those listings that there are some similarities of what we believe here at Centers for Spiritual Living. That spirit is in everything. That somehow our good is increased through prayer. One of the most appealing things to me about the philosophy at Centers for Spiritual Living is that principle of oneness. That there is one power, one presence, one life, one creative intelligence that is ever present in and through and around everything. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, said, "God is all there is. There is nothing else. Whether it is a bird, a beast, a fish, a tree, a man, or an archangel, God is still all there is. All things are manifestations of the one presence, one power, and the one life. This is the secret of secrets." He also said, "The spirit is both an overdwelling and an indwelling presence. We are immersed in it, and it flows through us as our very life." And so rather than believing that each and everything contains a spirit, we believe that everything contains that one spirit, that one life, that one energy, that one substance, that everything is a part of it. And that consciousness, what Ernest Holmes called mind, that intelligence and that energy permeates all of it. And so the title of my talk today is Gateway to the Infinite. And what I'm talking about is that as we live from that perspective, that the sacred is in everything, and that the sacred expresses itself in us and in all things, it changes the way that we interact with the world. It changes our relationships to people and things. It changes the way that we act in the world. When we recognize that the sacred is in all things, as well as within us and all people, we actually come to the world with more love and with more care, with more respect towards other things, with a gentleness, with an honoring of the spirit in things. And as you know, the problem with that is that so often we are viewing life only from our human egoic perspective. And when we view life only from that perspective, we see everything as separate and distinct and apart from each other, and we only see the surface. That's where it appears that everything is distinct and apart from each other. And when we come from that human earthly perspective, what happens is we categorize everything. We judge everything. We assess everything. You know, this thing is valuable and this thing is not. This thing is good and this thing is bad. This thing is spiritual and this thing is mundane. This is me and this is other than me. That's how our human eyes and perspective views the world. we say, oh yes, this $100 bill is valuable, but the dirt in my backyard, it's not valuable. We say, oh, this top executive, he's valuable and worthy, but the person who is an addict or an alcoholic that's homeless, that person isn't very valuable or worthy. We say, oh yes, that tree is alive, but that lake is not. Or we say, this is me, but this is other than me. So we assess and categorize everything that we see in this world. This is sacred, this is profane. Praying is sacred, but doing laundry is not sacred. Going to church is spiritual, but the problems in my relationship, they are not spiritual. We categorize everything, and then we live from that perspective. But what if it's all sacred? What if it's all valuable and worthy? What if everything is alive with spirit? And what if really there's only one of us here? What if everything is sacred and everything is spiritual and everything is holy? One of the spiritual practices that we teach at Centers for Spiritual Living is called practicing the presence. And what that means to practice the presence is it's a way of being and a way of seeing the world by witnessing and observing, seeing the sacredness of whatever is. The sacredness of what is. And that requires self-awareness, which is one of the other principles and practices that we teach here at Centers for Spiritual Living. Self-awareness as a practice requires that we pay attention to what we label and what we judge and what we disconnect from the truth of oneness in our minds. But because we are spiritual beings at our very core, what we really want is we want to be able to recognize the sacred in all things. You know how good that feels when you do that? I know you've all had that experience. We want to recognize the sacred in all and the sacredness of all. The trees and the animals and the rain and our relationships and the challenges in our relationships. All as sacred. All as spiritual. And you know, that's why it feels so terrible. We also want to experience that connection that we have with nature. The connection also that we have with others. The people that we like, that we care about, that we love. But we also want to experience that connection with the people that we don't even know. That spiritual connection. And that is one of the reasons why it feels so terrible when you feel hateful towards somebody. Because it's out of alignment with your spirit to be seeing that. Oh, it feels good to your ego to make them wrong and bad. But to your spirit, it feels terrible because it's out of alignment with who you are, with your own divine nature. And so as spiritual beings, we really want to perceive and experience our oneness with all life. Our oneness with all that inhabit this world. Do you like to watch animal videos? You know, whether it's cats or dogs or lions in Africa or a sloth in rehab. And do you notice how when you watch those videos, your heart just opens? When we're watching those videos, we don't have any walls up. We don't have any judgments about them being bad or wrong or not enough or however we judge people all the time. And in turn then, when we're watching those videos, our hearts get open and do notice, is this true? You feel your innate connection with them and with life. There's something in you that knows. And watching those videos helps you feel that connection with them and with life itself. and it feels good, and it feels delightful. And if you think about it, it even kind of feels a little bit like a relief. That's really where we want to live our lives. Would you like to live your life in that place all the time? So in order to experience the sacredness of life, it requires that we see that the sacred is indeed in all things, because the sacred is all things. I think it requires that we trust life, and that we trust that life is for us. I think it requires that we recognize that everything is not just filled with the divine, but is filled with infinite potential and boundless good, because spirit is all of it. And so there's a story that I'd like to share with you. It says, 5 centuries ago, the story goes, halfway around the world in a village in Punjab on the Indian subcontinent, there lived a young man named Nanak. He was deeply troubled by the violence around him, Hindus and Muslims in turmoil. One day, he disappeared on the bank of a river for 3 days. People thought he was dead, drowned. But Nanak emerged on the 3rd day with a vision of oneness, the oneness of humanity and of the world. This vision threw him into a state of ecstatic wonder, and he began singing songs of devotion called Shabads, praising the divine within him and around him. In other words, he was in love. Love made him see with new eyes. Everyone around him was part of him that he did not yet know. I see no stranger, Guru Nanak said. I see no enemy. Guru Nanak taught that all of us could see the world in this way. There is a voice inside each of us called Hamai, the I, that names itself separate from you. It resides in a bowl that holds our individual consciousness. But separation is an illusion. When we quiet the chatter in our heads through music or meditation or recitation or song, the boundaries begin to disappear, or watching animal videos. The bowl breaks. For a moment, we taste the truth, the sweet as nectar. We are part of one another, and joy rushes in. Long after the moment passes, we can choose to remember the truth of our interconnectedness, that we belong to one another. We can choose to see no stranger. Ernest Holmes said, as we gradually wake up to what already exists in the mind of God. And because we wake up to it, it appears to us. When we behold the sacred in anything or anyone, it is then we begin to see it. It appears to us. It becomes real to us when we come from the belief and the consciousness that it's already there. Then it becomes real to our human eyes. And you know that what we see and what we behold and what we focus on gets magnified. Beholding the sacred in anything brings that good forward. It magnifies the good. It magnifies the sacred in that. It draws that good to us, and it opens us to that good that is present. I know that you all have heard that story about the teacher. It's called the Rosenthal study, that had elementary school teacher, and they were all given intelligence tests, IQ tests, and randomly they chose 20% of those children and told the teachers that they had very high IQs, and they were just on the cusp of a major growth spurt in their brains and in their thinking. It was said that they had unusual potential for academic growth. The researchers used the results to lead the teachers to believe that some children were smarter than others. Do you remember that? And then 8 months later, they tested the children, and the children who were believed to be smarter actually were smarter and had a higher IQ after that 8 months. Well, here's the thing that I never heard before. Before the school experiment, Rosenthal worked with lab rats. He asked a group of student researchers to run experiments on rats who were specially bred to either be great at running mazes, maze bright rats, or terrible at mazes, maze dull rats. There was no difference between the rats at all. In fact, none of the rats had had any experience in any type of a maze before, or the one that was used in this experiment. When the hoodwinked researchers ran tests with rats, there were marked differences in their performance between the two groups of the maze, between the two groups of the rats. The maze bright rats did much better than the maze dull rats. Is that incredible? What we look for, we magnify. What we look for, we invite forward. What we look for, we see. That's how it works. And so, like the Native Americans say, that went through prayer and through ritual, that the gifts are greater and increase that are bestowed by the spirit of the mountain or the river or the rain, whatever it is. Our recognition of the sacredness within a thing increases the expression of good that comes into the world. It increases the expression of the good that is already inherent in that thing. So that says to me then that our call is to pause and to look and to see the sacred that is in everything. To pause and to look and to see the sacred in whatever it is that we are doing at any given moment in the day. Whether we're walking in nature, and it's so easy to see the sacred in the trees and in the birds and in the flowers. Whether we are preparing food, how is the sacred present here? Oh my gosh, as these beautiful fruits and vegetables that this planet has produced. Oh my gosh, in the fact that I get to be of service to my family and feed them. Or that I get to live in this wonderful house with all these things, these amenities that enable me to do this. To see the sacredness or the sacred when you show up at church. So easy to feel that because we get to reconnect with the depth of who we are. Or even in that disagreement that you're having with your loved one. How is the sacred here? How is sacredness within this? Oh, because it's causing me to grow. It's causing me to have a deeper understanding. Or it's causing me to love myself more. Whatever it is, it's expanding you in some way. So the call is to ask ourselves at any given moment, how is the sacred present here? And to pause and to answer the question for yourself, how is the sacred present here in this moment? And when and if you are feeling separate from other people, if you're feeling separate from life, separate from others, to stop and breathe into your heart. Do that for a second. Just breathe into your heart and then out of your heart. And do it again. And one more time. Breathing into your heart moves us out of our head. It moves us out of our judgment. And it puts us present in the moment where we are and allows us to connect with our self, our divine self. And so I invite you to stop several times during the day and to ask, how is the sacred present in this moment, right here in this thing? And then I have a brand new homework for you that you've never done before. And this is it. To stop randomly through the day, standing in line at the grocery store, sitting in church, walking the dog, whatever it is that you're doing, and to say to yourself, this is the most sacred moment of my entire day. Say that. This is the most sacred moment of my entire day. Say it again and feel it. This is the most sacred moment of my entire day. Do you feel that? Do that standing in line at the grocery store. Do that when you're washing the dishes. Do that when you're arguing with your spouse. And notice how it shifts your perception. Notice how it shifts your thinking. Notice how it changes you. The result, I think, will be witnessing greater beauty everywhere and witnessing the sacredness in whatever it is that you're doing. You'll be spiritualizing your environment. And because you are spiritualizing your environment, you will be spiritualizing the world in which you live. Experiencing a greater affinity with others, a greater affinity with life itself, and absolutely experiencing a deeper and a greater joy in whatever it is that you're doing. And so blessings to each and every single one of you as you walk this path, as you discover and unfold more and more of your spirit and the very essence of who you are, as you step into that fully and bring that gift to life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in consciousness. Join me together as we turn our attention to the truth. The truth that, yes, indeed, there is only one. One power, one presence, one life, one beingness. And it is a presence that is goodness itself. It is a presence that is love and beauty and joy. It is a presence that contains within itself infinite potentiality and boundless good. And it is the very nature of our lives. I recognize also that not just is it the nature of our lives, but it is the nature of who and what we are. For we are individualized expressions of this one, here living this life, bringing the light and the love and the peace and the goodness of that divine presence into this world in a way that blesses us and in a way that blesses others. I know that this infinite one and all the intelligence that it contains is within us, and that that leads us and guides us as intuition, as knowing. That intelligence reveals itself to our minds as perfect solutions and perfect answers and perfect way to resolve the things that have yet been unresolved in our lives. I recognize that this is a presence of opulent good, an abundance unfolding itself as the myriad of things that we see all around us. Trees and birds and butterflies, spiders in this October, magnificence itself. And that creativity fills us. That creative intelligence and love and good fills our lives. And so I also speak this word not just about us, but about every single person on this planet, recognizing that right where they are is also this infinite one. And right now it is unfolding itself in every home, in every heart, in every place of business, in every interaction, every conversation, as perfect answers, as guidance in the way to reach the joy of life. That abundance unfolds itself as plenty for everyone. And I also speak this word about all of our policymakers and politicians, decision makers, world leaders, country leaders, that same intelligence right now unfolds itself through their minds as perfect decisions that serve the whole of humanity and that serve this planet, Mother Earth, that we are living on. For that is as sacred as anything. And so we are all being led and guided and directed to create a world that works for everyone and to manifest heaven on earth. And so I release this prayer into that creative law of the universe and just relax and sit back and expect and witness its unfolding. And so that is exactly what is happening right now, because it is the truth. And so I invite you to join me in affirmation by saying, and so it is.
And so it is.
And so I have a couple of invitations for you as a way to participate in this family. One is that this week we have a new class starting that is called A Journey of the Soul. The class is all about identifying as soul as you move through your life. We will be doing meditation and doing some work around emotional healing, self-love, soul presence, and life direction. We are doing the class in person. There is still room if you want to sign up. I think the sign-up sheet is in the back. Nope, it's at my house. If you have not signed up and you would like to take the class, come talk with me. This is very exciting. Next weekend, we are actually having a booth at the Parkcrest Village Street Fair. That's where Village Cafe is, the breakfast place, in that street right there. And we are doing pet blessings. And the cool thing is, I didn't even know when we scheduled it, that they're having a big Halloween thing, and they're also having a pet costume competition and stuff. So there will be lots of pets there. It is from 12 to 4, so if any of you would like to come hang out, come see us, we'd love for you to do that. If any of you are interested in coming, maybe signing up for an hour just to come talk with people about who we are and what we do, I would love that sauna. So it should be super, super fun. We also, the last Sunday of this month, we are doing a community outreach, which we are going to Ronald McDonald House and cooking lunch. We're going to do a hot lunch for the people that are staying there. Right now, they have 50 people staying there. So the people that are staying there have children that are in the children's hospital across the street, and it's parents who need to go there every single day to see their kids, or sometimes several times a day. They stay there for free. People donate food. They have so many organizations that support them. It's really incredible. So we're going to be cooking for them on that Sunday instead of doing church. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. If you don't cook, we would love if you want to go grocery shopping, or if you want to contribute money to pay for that meal, or if you'd like to sign up and cook. We can have a dozen people that morning, and we're going to be there at 10:30, so we're going to be there from 10:30 to 12:30. We would love to have you join us. If there's room after we all get signed up, if you want to bring a friend along, that's awesome too, but it should be super fun. Our Sunday talks are available online. They land in your email inbox if you are on our mailing list. If you aren't and you'd like to be, talk to Ray. He'll get you on that email list. We invite you to follow us on Facebook, to share the talks. They get listed there too. Share them with your friends, to check out our Instagram, and to check in on Meetup and say, I'm coming. The love and light of spirit are within me now.
The love and light of spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I own it and I share it.
I am it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.
And so it is.